I went one day to Banaras. Banaras is the hub of the Hindu universe, the center of Hinduism. There one sees Hinduism at its best and at its worst. One evening, my friend, with whom I was staying, told me that she had arranged for a boat ride down the Ganges early the next morning that we might see the Brahmins worship the sun. We were out before sunrise the next morning, floating down past the big temples of the river front. Just as the sun appeared, the Brahmin priests and others came rushing down the many stone steps leading into the water, bearing garlands. They waded into the water, waist deep, and casting their garlands on the bosom of the river, bowed and chanted the incantations appropriate to the occasion. It was a strange sight, though not altogether new, as I had seen the worship of the sun on the Brahmaputra. The holy city, called by the Hindu Kashya, lies on a bluff over the river. One can see the narrow winding streets and the life on them as one sits in a boat. I was looking up one of those streets that morning when I suddenly saw a strange procession coming down towards the river. Several men were carrying something between them on a pole, and others were singing a sort of dirge. I did not recognize what it was at first, and so I asked my friend. She told me it was a funeral, and the bundle was a dead body being brought down to the funeral pyres near the river. I looked in the direction in which she pointed, and there was a new funeral pyre with the wood in the position. A little further on the another, with the body half consumed. And way down on the water's edge lay an old man on a mat with his feet in the water. He was a Brahmin and dying. Then I remembered that I had heard it said that every Brahmin wants to die with his feet in Mother Ganga, for it expedites the long, tedious process of rebirth to Nirvana. I couldn't help thinking of the widow left alone in a little house on the top of the bluff somewhere. Most probably, she was only a little girl. Far in that orthodox city, they marry their children very young. He may have been an old man. Worse, he may have been diseased, crippled, or a leper. I can see the little wife going from temple to temple with her offerings of rice, flowers, and money all the time her husband lay ill, prostrating herself before the gods and imploring them to be kind and let her husband live. Not that she loved him as our women love their husbands, for she probably was the victim of an arrangement she knew nothing about and did not see his face until after the ceremony. But he was to her as God, and from her earliest days she had been taught that a woman's chief duty lay in obeying and honoring her husband. I can see the relatives coming in from the country in ox carts or on the ikka. I can see them consulting with the priests who offer many ceremonies in behalf of the sick man. I can see their quack doctor, the Koviraj, going into the sick man's room and doing his best and his worst. But all to no avail. At midnight, a piercing scream is heard, and another soul goes out alone in the dark. The gods did not hear the cries of the little girl wife, nor do they care what becomes of her now that the hope of her young life is gone.